Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, September 7, 2023, 1 John.
Okay, a couple of announcements before we get started. If you are interested in becoming a teacher or a substitute for our Bib Ed program, please see Debbie at your earliest convenience. Very important. So if you are interested in becoming a teacher or substitute for our Bib Ed program, please see Debbie at your earliest convenience. The second one is next week classes are Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They are not Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood. It gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul and making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, this morning I was on my way out of the house when there was this knock on the front door. And I went and opened the door, and there standing were two men in suits beautiful on the outside. The younger one was right up next to the door, and he had a watchtower pamphlet. And I looked at them, and I thought, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ was describing about the Pharisees. Beautiful on the outside, but inside like dead men's bones. And the young man that was in front of me, I said, are you a Jehovah's Witness? Yes. Well, then you came here to talk to me about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is Jehovah. I believe in Jehovah. I believe in Jesus Christ. He is Jehovah. And He is the only Savior. He is the only Messiah. He is the only person that solved the world's problem of sin. And He is the only hope that you will have to be in heaven by simply believing in His work on the cross. But I tell you, young man, I feel sorry for you right now. I feel very sorry for you. Because you think you're going to be in heaven. And you're going to be, unless you personally believe in Christ as your Savior, you will be in hell forever and ever and ever. Because you are not Jehovah's Witness, you're Satan's Witness. At that point there, the older fellow in the back says, okay, let's go. Well, I do feel sad for him. Here was a good-looking young man standing there, and he was being trained. That's the way they do it. He was being trained by the fellow behind. But he has no idea. There is only one name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is only one Savior. There is only one Messiah. And He is Jehovah. And that one Messiah is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the only one that has solved the world problem of sin. And you see, these people are like the rich young ruler. What do I have to do, he asked Jesus, to get into the kingdom of God? The Lord named a few things. He said, oh, I've done all of those. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew he hadn't. He said, okay. He was a rich young ruler. Okay, sell all of your riches and give it to the poor. Oh, shit. And he walked away depressed. Jesus was pointing out he hadn't followed the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I know some of you are dealing with religious people, even Jehovah's Witnesses. And I do, I really do feel sorry for them because they have been blinded by the ruler of this world, Satan. They are his witnesses. They aren't Jehovah's Witnesses. They are Satan's witnesses. And they have missed entirely the grace of God, the grace gospel. Jesus Christ did all the work. They're out there knocking on doors all over the neighborhood and thinking by doing all of these works, they will be in heaven. But they won't be. And after I said that, and the older fellow said, okay, that's enough, let's get out of here. And then I closed the door, and then I hear Debbie, oh, I am so glad you were still here, and you answered the door. I said, well, I'm glad I was here too, but you know what? I just really do feel sad for these people. They have been totally blinded by the ruler of this world. They are 100% wrong, and they will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever apart from faith in Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 4. See, God brings those things in my life so I have illustrations for Bible class. 1 John chapter 4. What a great, verses 1 through 6, what a great passage. Beloved ones, that is royal family of God, church age saints, stop believing in any and every influential speaker, communicator of the Word of God, but analyze the communicators of God's Word, whether they are from God, because many false prophets, false teachers, have gone out into the world to evangelize for the cosmic system, i.e., the Jehovah's Witnesses. This is how the Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit, is recognized. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. You see, this is a polemic against Cerinthian Gnosticism. Cerinthus was in John's church, and they rejected the deity of Jesus Christ. They rejected the true humanity of Jesus Christ. They rejected the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. They rejected the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. And they said that the cross was an optical illusion. So John says, this is how the Spirit of God is recognized, God the Holy Spirit. Every sound doctrinal communicator who acknowledges and teaches that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. He teaches the incarnation and virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He teaches that He is the eternal Son of God. He teaches that He's true humanity. He teaches that He had the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. But, verse 3, but every persuasive speaker, every false teacher who does not acknowledge and teach the Jesus, the Jesus of the God-breathed Scriptures, and the Jehovah's Witnesses certainly don't do that, who teach orthodox Christology and soteriology, they fail to do so, they absolutely are not from God. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are not from God. Indeed, this false teaching keeps on being the spirit of the Antichrist, about whom the Antichrist, you have heard that he is coming. John has taught eschatological doctrine again and again and again and again and again. He's the author of Revelation. He's taught all about the Antichrist. He's taught all about the tribulation. He's taught all about the false prophet. They know that. But now, in the church age, he, the spirit of Antichrist, false teachers, are already in the world. They keep on being in the world right now. That they hadn't heard. You, Believers living the spiritual life are from God, dear children. You're students under authority, under the authority of the Apostle John. And you have overcome them, the false teachers, the spirit of Antichrist. You've cleared the hurdles of people testing, because greater is He who is in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, than he who is in the world, Satan. Verse 5. They, these false teachers, they belong to the cosmos, to the cosmic system. And therefore, because of this, they keep on teaching from the source of the cosmic system. And the world, the cosmos, those living in the cosmic system, both believers and unbelievers, they keep on listening to them. They understand them, they believe them, and they follow their false teaching. Verse 6. We and only we, Orthodox pastors teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, are from the living and true God, the one who has come to know God, that is, develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. He keeps on listening and obeying us, sound doctrinal communicators of the Word. But the one who is not from God absolutely does not listen to us, learn and understand or obey our teaching of the Word of God. And by this we have come to know and to understand the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, delusion, and deceit. You see, that knock on the door was just an introduction for this paragraph. That's the perfect illustration of this paragraph. Now we're in the next paragraph of chapter 4, 1 John 4, verses 7 to 12. And now we have the dynamics of virtue love, specifically the dynamics of impersonal love for all. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. We have exegeted just the first part of verse 7. Beloved, royal family of God, in union with Christ, let us love one another. Love one another. This is impersonal love for all. This is the great functional virtue of virtue love. Impersonal love for all. Let us love one another. Impersonal love for all. And the key word here is the verb agapao. A-G-A-P-A long O. Agapao. And all throughout 1 John, this is the verb for virtue love. The noun is agape for virtue love. Here's the verb. And in our verse, this is virtue love with emphasis on impersonal love for all. How do we know that? Because we have the reciprocal pronoun allelon, which means each other, one another. And therefore, agapao with the reciprocal pronoun is emphasizing the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. The present tense has linear action, Sartre. That means keep on. Keep on loving one another with impersonal love. All the time. All the time. Not just when you're around the people that you have a mutual admiration society. You pat them on the back, they pat you on the back, and you tell each other how great you are. Not just that. But impersonal love for the scum. Impersonal love for Democrats. Impersonal love for Jehovah's Witnesses. And they heard the gospel. They heard the grace gospel. They heard the only way they can ever get to heaven, because there's only one person that solved the world problem of sin, the Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. I said, if you simply believe in Him, that He paid the penalty for all of your sins on the cross, then He will give you the gift of eternal life. He will impute to you His righteousness, and you will live with Him forever and ever in heaven. There's no accident that you knocked on this door. You probably will never knock on this door again. But there's no accident you knocked on this door. And I'm talking to the young guy because the old guy is too far gone. I'm talking to the young guy, and he's sitting there, his eyes are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And as he walked away, I just wanted God the Holy Spirit to take this common grace and make it clear to him. Who knows? They went to the next door, but as they went to the next door, he kept turning around and looking back at our house. I know, because I was in my Hummer and backing out. As I backed out, he kept looking and looking. The older guy, he was just heading up to the next door. Come on, get up here. And, my heart goes out to all those people that have been so blinded by the ruler of this world, Satan. They're steeped in, this is the perfect illustration of religion. Religion is the devil's ace trump. But they were there, they knocked on this door because God wanted them to hear the grace gospel. And they did. Now, they may not have believed in Christ there, but they might knock on another door and hear the grace gospel, and knock on another door and hear the great grace gospel. And then it just keeps again and again. I doubt if the other ones will say, "You're Satan's witnesses." But that shocks people. They are Satan's witnesses. And then they go home at night, and as they get in bed at night, they're still thinking, "I'm Satan's witnesses? I thought I was Jehovah's Witness." Well, Jesus Christ is Jehovah. The present tense is linear action start. Keep on loving one another with impersonal love all the time. The active voice, the royal family of God, all church age believers are to perform the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood is the hortatory subjunctive. It presents an exhortation, a mandate. And it's in the first person plural, let us. So it's correctly translated, let us love one another with impersonal love for all. This is the mandate for every member of the royal family of God, to love one another with impersonal love for all. Beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another with impersonal love for all. Now John goes on, for love is of God. We always start with the King James. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular of the noun agape with the definite article, plus the present active indicative of eimi, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. The conjunction hoti, H-O-T-I. And it was mistranslated in the King James. This is a causal conjunction, causal use of hoti, and is correctly translated because. Because, and then now we have the noun that comes from the verb, agapao. The noun is agape. A-G-A-P, long E, agape. And agape is the noun for virtue love that the Apostle John uses again and again and again. But specifically, in our verse, it is looking at impersonal love for all. The great functional virtue of virtue love, impersonal love for all. And then the to-be verb, ami, E-I-M-I, ami. And ami is translated is because impersonal love is. Because impersonal love is, present tense is a nomic present introducing a timeless axiom of Scripture. And the axiom is this, when we finish this clause, virtue love is from the source of God. Virtue love is from the source of God. The active voice, virtue love, performs the action of being from the source of God. The indicative mood is declarative. This is dogmatic, absolute truth, absolute certainty. And then the preposition ek plus the genitive. Ek plus the genitive. Ek looks like that in the Greek and in the English. And ek plus the genitive is the genitive of source. The genitive of source. Source of origin, of cause, of motive, of reason. And you translate it from the source of. From the source of what? From the source of God. Theos. T-H-E-O-S, theos, that's God. From the source of God. God is virtue love. God is virtue love. God is infinite virtue love. And therefore, virtue love is from the source of God. Beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another with impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. Now, you see, if you just read that in the King James, you could make that say just about anything. Well, I loveth. And those Jehovah's Witnesses, they loveth too. They loveth something. You almost have to have a lisp to read the King James. And everyone that loveth is born of God. The conjunction chi plus the adjective pos plus the articular present active participle of agapao, plus the perfect passive indicative of genao, plus the prepositional phrase, once again, ek plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Well, the conjunction chi is a connective chi. You translate it and, either and or furthermore, and then we have the adjective pos. And by the way, Debbie, when we got home, she says, "Are there one time you when you talk the letter S? Oops, you have it." I know. I said, "There's two different ways." Yeah, that's if it's in the middle of the word. That's if it's at the end of the word. So there's a final S and there's a middle S. So. Oh, well, I wonder why. I thought maybe you made a mistake. Me? And it's not only true in the Greek, it's true in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, take the letter M, which is the main. If it's in the middle of the word, it looks like that. If it's at the end of the word, it looks like that. So there's a middle name and a final name. So in both the Hebrew and the Greek, yes, I'm not making a mistake. I have made one, I don't know, 30 years ago or something. God knows I'm just kidding. God also has a sense of humor. I hope some of you have a sense of humor as well. Pas means every, each, or all. But with the articular participle. How many times have you heard this now? What is an articular participle? It's a substantival participle. What does that mean? It functions as a noun. So, with an articular participle, which is substantival and used as a noun, you translate pas, everyone who, or whoever. And the articular participle of agapao is a substantival participle, and so the corrected translation is furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all. Everyone who loves with impersonal love for all. Then we have the verb genao. G-E-N-N-A long O. Genao. Couple points on this verb. One, in the active voice, it means to bear, to beget, to give birth to. That's the active voice. We don't have the active voice. Point two, in the passive voice, which is what we have, it means to be born. To be born. It refers to birth. Now, there is a physical birth, and there is a spiritual birth. Point three, this is spiritual birth. Spiritual birth at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, at the moment of faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, there is a new birth, a spiritual birth, and that we call regeneration. Now, I hear some Christians say, I'm a born-again believer. Well, he is really saved. If you're born again, you are a believer. And if you're a believer, you're born again. But if you're a born-again believer, you are really, really, really saved. That's called redundancy, but that's okay. I'm a born... There's no such thing as being a born-again unbeliever or a believer who is not born again. So you are born again because of your faith in Christ. You are a believer because of your faith in Christ. But there'll still be those fundies out there. I'm a born-again believer. Okay. Four, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer is born again. A new birth, a spiritual birth, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. Five, at regeneration, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. You see, as an unbeliever, we're dichotomous. As an unbeliever, we have a body and a soul, but no human spirit. As an unbeliever, we're spiritually dead. So we're dichotomous. But at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit. Now you're trichotomous. Now you're body, soul, and human spirit. God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. So at regeneration, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Sixth. Now the church age believer is trichotomous. Now you are body, soul, and human spirit. You are indwelt and filled with the Spirit at that very moment of spiritual birth. At that very moment of faith in Christ, you are indwelt and filled with the Spirit at the point of regeneration, at the point of spiritual birth. And you are baptized into union with Christ by God the Holy Spirit, becoming royal family of God at that very point of regeneration, spiritual birth, faith in Christ. Seven. Now you have a very unique and close and personal relationship with the living and true God. As a result of this spiritual birth, as a result of the indwelling and filling of the Spirit, as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, current positional truth, entered into union with Christ, now you have a very unique, close, and personal relationship with the living and true God. And you have a dynamic fellowship with God through the filling of the Spirit. You have a dynamic fellowship with God through the filling of the Spirit. Eight. Now you have the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live this unique spiritual life of the church age. Now you have the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live this unique spiritual life of the church age. The perfect tense is an intensive perfect, which means the emphasis is placed on the existing results of a past action or on a present state or condition resulting from a past action. The passive voice, that is the voice of grace. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, the believer receives the grace blessing of regeneration, spiritual birth. The indicative mood is declarative. This is absolute truth, certainty, reality. And then we have repeated the preposition ek plus the genitive of source, from the source of theos, God. So, corrected translation, beloved, royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another with impersonal love for all, because impersonal love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loves with impersonal love for all has been born, spiritual birth, from the source of God, regeneration. And then we continue, and knoweth God. This is the conjunction chi plus the present active indicative of gnosko plus the accusative singular of theos with the definite article. Once again, chi is connective chi, means and then the verb gnosko. G-I-N-long-O-S-K-long-O, gnosko. One, gnosko means to know or to come to know. Here it means to come to know, and who are you coming to know? Theos, God. Nothing better than that. To come to know the living and true God. Two, the Apostle John uses this verb, gnosko, to describe the believer who comes to know God. That is, he has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. That's what it means to come to know God. So he uses this verb, gnosko, to describe the believer who has come to know God, who has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, John already taught this. He already taught this in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. So, go back to 1 John 2, 3 through 5. We will renew your memory center here. 1 John 2, 3 through 5. First of all, verse 3. Verse 3. We know that we have gnosko. There's our same verb that we have here. Here it is in 1 John 2, verse 3. For we know that we have gnosko him, that we have come to know God, that we have developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. How do we know that we have gnoskoed him, that we have come to know God? You got to fulfill this condition. If we obey his mandate. Now, if you don't obey his mandate, then you have not come to know God. You do not have personal love for God the Father. You do not have occupation with Christ. We know that we have gnoskoed him, that we have come to know God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ, if we obey his mandate. Now, what are his mandates? Ephesians 5:18. Keep on being filled with the Spirit, the power to live the unique spiritual life. Galatians 5:16, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. Stop grieving the Holy Spirit. That's a mandate. Stop quenching the Holy Spirit. And you grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit when you're making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. 2 Peter 3:18, grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. These are all the men. For the believer who fulfills these mandates of being empowered by the filling of the Spirit, who walk by the power of the Spirit, who stop quenching and grieving the Spirit, who grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, that's the mandate. If we obey those mandates, then we come to know God. We gnosko God. We have personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. If you don't obey those mandates, then you do not. You have not come to know God. And I listen to a lot of believers. They're all blow and no go. Oh, they have a lot of vocabulary and talk about how much they know God and love the Lord. And they don't love God at all. They haven't got any capacity to love God. They don't obey the mandates of God's Word. They're just all blow and no go. Now verse 4. The one who keeps on claiming that I know God. And there's the word gnosko. There's our word gnosko again. The one who keeps on claiming that I have gnoskoed God, I've come to know God, but does not obey his mandates, he's a liar. A liar. Boy, are there a lot of liars out there who are born again believers. He's a liar. And the absolute truth of the Word of God is not in him. Now verse 5. But if anyone keeps on obeying his Word, again, if, third class condition, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Some will, some won't. But if anyone keeps on obeying his word, the mandates of God's word, then the love for God has truly been brought to completion in his heart. By this, we have gnoskoed. Here we have it again. You see, John's been using this word for some time. By this, we have gnoskoed. We have come to know and realize that we are menoing. Oh, we know that word too from John. Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Special use, meno, abiding in him, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. See, John taught this. And every, in verse 3, in verse 4, in verse 5, gnosko in verse 3, if we obey his mandates, in verse 4, but if you do not obey his mandate, you're a liar. And in verse 5, by this we have gnoskoed and come to know and realize that we are menoing in him, abiding in him. We're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. And John not only taught this in 1 John 2, 3 through 5, but in 1 John 4, verse 6. We and only we, Orthodox pastors teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures, are from the living and true God. The one who has gnosko, come to know God, that is, develop personal love for the Father and occupation with Christ, he keeps on listening and obeying us, sound doctrinal teaching of the Word of God. But the one who is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we have gnoskoed. By this we have come to know the Spirit of truth, God the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, delusion, deceit, false teachers. Point three. In our verse, 1 John 4, verse 7, that phrase, and he has come to know God. This is the believer with positive volition, with humility, respect for the authority of God, the Word of God, and the sound doctrinal teacher communicating the Word of God, who consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound doctrinal church and metabolizes Bible doctrine. So this phrase in 1 John 4, 7, and he has come to know God, is the believer with positive volition and humility who consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound doctrinal church and metabolizes Bible doctrine. Four, the result is that he obeys the mandates of the Word of God. The result is that he obeys the mandates of the Word of God. And he has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. And that is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That's why you're here. That's why you're here, to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So again, point three, this is the believer with positive volition and humility who consistently and faithfully assembles in a sound doctrinal church and metabolizes doctrine. And the result of doing that is that he obeys the mandates of the Word of God and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. That is the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. That is why we are here. Five, the one who has come to know God, gnosko. The one who has come to know God, gnosko, has developed personal love for God. Personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Son, Jesus Christ. Six, The one who has come to know God is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. As a result, he has attained spiritual maturity. He has developed personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. The one who has come to know God is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. You just, I don't know if any of you realize how privileged you are to even know what it means, to even know that in this dispensation, spirituality is first of all the filling of the Spirit. There's a lot of fundies that just think, you know, hey, if I just follow the Ten Commandments and I'm in. They don't even understand that this is the dispensation of the unique spiritual life. They have no idea about that. They have no idea that the very first unique spiritual life was lived by Jesus Christ and then passed on to the royal family of God, the body of Christ, because we would be living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. They don't understand the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. They don't understand that now Satan shifted gears. Now he's not attacking the line of Christ or Jesus Christ. Now he's attacking the body of Christ. Every single believer. So we have been given this unique spiritual life. A supernatural way of life that can demand supernatural power to live it. And most fundies have no idea about that. No idea about the unique spiritual life. No idea about virtue love. No idea about the motivational virtues of personal love for God and occupation with Christ and the functional virtue of impersonal love for all. No idea about the two royal commissions, commissioned a royal priest to represent ourselves before God and our royal ambassadorship representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. No idea. But you are privileged. And there are, the pivot is very small. Very, very small in Client Nation USA. But there are so many, and they're so, and I'm talking about believers. They're going to be in heaven. They're going to be in heaven. But they have no idea. They're not getting sound doctrinal teaching. And they're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So again, the one who has come to know God, gnosko, has developed personal love for God the Father, personal love for God the Son. Six, the one who has come to know God is the believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, attained spiritual maturity. He now has these great motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. Seven, this believer comes to know God. He develops personal love for God. Because he consistently and faithfully keeps on listening to orthodox pastor teachers teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. This believer comes to know God. Personal love for God the Father, personal love for God the Son, because he consistently and faithfully keeps on listening to orthodox pastor teachers teaching the grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Verse 7 then says, beloved royal family of God in union with Christ, let us love one another with impersonal love for all. Because impersonal love is from the source of God. Furthermore, everyone who loved with impersonal love for all has been born from the source of God, regeneration, and has come to know God, personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Christ, the great motivational virtues that motivate impersonal love for all. One, virtue love then is made up of three problem-solving devices: personal love for God the Father, and occupation with Jesus Christ, the two great motivational virtues, and impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue of virtue love. So virtue love is made up of three problem-solving devices: personal love for God the Father, occupation with Jesus Christ, the great motivational virtues that motivate impersonal love for all, the great functional virtue. Two, you must understand that love for God is not only a problem-solving device, but it is a basis for recognizing the greatest things in your life because of the Word of God in your heart. You must understand that love for God is not only a problem-solving device, but it is a basis for recognizing the greatest things in your life because of the Word of God in your heart. Three, personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. Personal love is only a virtue when it's directed toward God. And you say, well, what about personal love for man? What about personal love for my husband and my wife? And what about personal love for my friends? I thought you'd never ask. Point four. Personal love for man is virtue dependent. Personal love for man is virtue dependent. It must be inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. When personal love is inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, then you have something very, very fantastic. Then I'll tell you, when you have that, when you have personal love inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all, you're going to have the most awesome, wonderful marriage. A happy marriage, a successful marriage, it will be off the charts. And relationships, friendships, off the chart. When you have that personal love inside the integrity envelope of impersonal love for all. Five, personal love for God is the motivational virtue of the plan of God. Personal love for God is the motivational virtue of the plan of God. It is what motivates you to execute God's mandates. It is what motivates you to execute God's mandates. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. You know, you would not consistently attend Bible class unless you had learned enough of the Word of God to have some appreciation for who and what God is. But when you consistently attend Bible class and grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, grace and knowledge of Christ, you have an appreciation for who and what God is. Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to virtue love. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to virtue love. And then you have some, it says, well, in this translation, good deeds. Boo. Boo. We don't have good deeds here. We have kalos ergon. See? That's not good deeds. K-A-L-O-S. That's the word for honor. Honorable. Noble. Honorable. Ergon is used here for grace, righteous production. Honorable grace, righteous production. The production of a winner believer. Kalos ergon. Grace, righteous production of a winner believer. Then he goes on, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You see? You wouldn't consistently attend Bible class unless you had learned enough of the God-breathed scriptures to have some appreciation for who and what God is. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.